Blog Talk Radio.
Live Sportsaholics 24/7. We got a great show for you guys tonight. I'm your host John, joined with Nick and Brandon, and we also have a very special guest today. Nick's friend Alex. What's up, guys?
Not much, man.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem.
So we're going to be talking about a few topics today, you know, some NFL stuff, Baseball Hall of Fame, and we're going to finish off the show with, you know, what we think about the Heat versus Nets nickname jerseys tonight. We'll start off with the playoffs, though. You know, last week was very exciting with some great matchups. That Colts-Chiefs game was an instant classic. A lot of games came down to the very end. And this weekend, there are four games on the schedule. We got Saints-Seahawks in Seattle, Colts-Patriots in New England, 49ers-Panthers in Carolina, and Chargers-Broncos in Denver. Let's talk about what your guys' most intriguing matchup is. Brandon, let's start with you.
Well, for me, it's got to be New Orleans at Seattle. I mean, there are so many key things to that matchup that are going to play a factor on Sunday's game. And first and foremost is obviously the crowd at Seattle. I mean, they're going to be the 12th man there. They've even retired the number 12 there in honor of the 12th man. And they are not only the loudest fans in football, they're the loudest fans in all professional sports. I mean, these fans get crazy. And in preparation for playing the Saints, Sean Payton blew out two speakers, two high-quality speakers. He blew them out because that's the kind of noise they're going to be facing on Sunday. Another key factor? How's Drew Brees going to fare against Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and that Seahawks secondary? I mean, that's going to be an amazing thing to watch. And, you know, how is Marquise Colston going to adjust to the play of Richard Sherman? And it's going to be fun. And obviously, Marshawn Lynch, because we all remember what happened the last time these two teams went to the playoffs. I mean, beast mode was born. What else can I say? And I think he's going to do it again. And we'll I'll get to my prediction later, but I mean that's my best game on the schedule.
All right, Alex, how about you?
I mean, just in terms of that game, I think you know you're overlooking a lot, and all those close games last week. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll see that this week. You know, Seattle, New Orleans, that's going to be a blowout. Seattle's going to win in that stadium. It's supposed to be heavy rain. The Saints are an indoor team. They're afraid of the sun. They can't go outside. Brees is going to struggle mightily. Marshawn Lynch is going to have himself a day. They're selling Marshawn Lynch burgers at the stadium. It's going to be all about number 24. Pats, Colts, you know, I mean, obviously that's the most intriguing one for me, being from New England. But again, don't really think it will be that close of a game unless Deion Branch has hold out all the secrets, which even if he did, you know, Belichick came up with something new. Last time they played Andrew Luck through, what, three picks? I don't see him getting over the hump this week. And then Carolina, San Francisco is the one that I think will be the best game. Denver is going to blow out San Diego, get revenge for them beating them at home in the regular season. Carolina, San Francisco is the one close game. A lot of defense, really low scoring. And I'm looking forward to seeing the linebacker matchup. You have Luke Kuechly on one side, then on the other side, the pair of Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. I think that's going to be the thing to really watch, especially against two running quarterbacks like Colin Kaepernick and Cam Newton. Seeing how those linebackers handle those quarterbacks is going to be great.
Well, to contradict what you said there, Alex, about Andrew Luck going up against the Patriots, personally,
well,
I think if there's one man that I would not want to play right now in the playoffs, it's Andrew Luck. The guy has been on an absolute tear.
Tear through the playoffs. We're one game in. You can't say he's been on a tear.
Well, the truth is the Patriots are a good team. But what people fail to realize is that they're not that good of a team. Their receivers don't know what they're doing. And people have to give more credit to Tom Brady. Tom Brady has had a much better season this year than people give him credit for.
It doesn't matter.
It's
the
because
Tom
the receivers.
Tom Brady is on that unique level where it doesn't matter the receivers he has around him. And this is a good group. This is a group that has made plays. You can't tell me, Julian Edelman, you don't get to 100 catches by accident. You don't get to 1,000 yards by accident. You can't tell me these receivers don't know what they're doing. And let me tell you this.
Unless Tom Brady's under the helm, he's not getting...
Aaron Dobson and Kemble Hopkins know what they're doing? They can't
Aaron Dobson's not expected to play. Kemble Hopkins, yes, he's had his issues this year, but he's been fine. But Danny Amendola has been outstanding this year. He knows what he's doing. Julian Edelman, you look at the running back they have catching the ball. Shane Vereen.
To be completely honest with you, I completely understand your point. What I'm trying to get at this is there is no way that any of these receivers are going to have 1,000 yards unless they have a guy like Tom Brady under the center.
They do have Tom Brady. But Tom Brady is that good of a quarterback.
I'm
confused. You're agreeing with me? Yes, Tom Brady's that good. That's why the Patriots will handle the Colts.
But I don't think so because Andrew Luck has been playing out of his mind. He played
Andrew
great
Luck
last week in the playoffs.
In the past few weeks,
even before the playoffs, Andrew Luck has been statistically better than almost every quarterback in this league, especially the other 7 quarterbacks that are currently in the playoffs.
Andrew Luck threw three picks last week, put his team in a 24-point hole. You do that against the Bill Belichick defense. You do that against the Tom Brady offense.
A Bill Belichick defense. Oh, my God.
That's an accurate statement, I would think. So Bill Belichick is the coach of the New England Patriots. I would call the defense.
Certainly not Josh McDaniels. The Patriots are maybe the least talented defensive team that is left in these playoffs.
Andrew Luck has been doing his thing
all season long without Reggie Wayne for the most part. Can you imagine what it would be like if he had Reggie Wayne? This team could potentially be the number one seed.
Focus. We're talking about this game. We're talking about Saturday, 8:30 p.m. Reggie Wayne won't be on the field. If you want to make this about the entire season, I'll bring up Rob Gronkowski and talk about what Brady could have done
I'm just saying that Andrew Luck has been playing very, very well. Yes, he did have 3 picks last week, but he did come back. And let's not forget, he has that ability.
Well, you started this argument by saying that you didn't want to face Andrew Luck because he could beat the Patriots. Now you're telling me that you don't
think
he's supposed to win.
I'm not saying he will. I'll tell you my prediction.
He can easily beat the Patriots. And the thing is that Julian Edelman, the reason why he has had it as successful a season as he has is because of Tom Brady. The truth is, their receivers are really not that great.
But they have Brady.
Brady knows how to use them.
McDaniels knows how to plug it in.
Never count out Brady, but at the same time, you can't just completely depend on Brady. And Andrew Luck,
They did, and they won 3 Super Bowls completely depending on Brady offensively.
Yeah, but they've had better offenses in the past.
Who were the wide receivers on those 3 Super Bowl teams? David Patton was a Pro Bowler in New England, never played a snap once he left to go to Cleveland for a free agent contract. David Givens left to go to the Titans, again, never played another snap. Deion Branch, Super Bowl MVP in New England, left, barely played, could stay on the field for 16 games a season, couldn't get a catch, comes back, nearly puts together a Pro Bowl season. It doesn't matter who Brady's receivers are. It doesn't matter who you put around him. He will make them succeed.
To some extent, yes. But if they can't run a route right, then there's only so much you can do. When you watch those
But they've
games,
gotten to this point,
places,
so clearly
yes.
they can run a route right.
How about that game when they lost to the Jets, or that game when they should have lost to the Jets?
Every team has bad games, and, you know, you keep saying that these receivers can't run routes, they can't catch, whatever. Maybe they're not great receivers, but they're good enough. They get the job done, and with a legendary quarterback like Tom Brady, you don't need you don't need Calvin Johnson as a receiver on your team.
Listen,
you can have guys like Julian Edelman and still win.
Hold on, I got something. I hate the Patriots. I completely despise them with all of my heart, energy, and soul.
Yeah, me too.
But I have to admit,
I am very, very impressed with how far this team has come since week one and two against the New York Jets.
I just don't think.
When the Patriots played the Jets that Thursday night in September, the team was out of sync. And should it not be for Geno Smith not playing good enough football, the Patriots would have lost that game. Because Tom Brady was over and underthrowing his receivers.
Well,
his receivers were completely out of sync with each other and their quarterback.
Let me come back and turn what you said into something else.
All I'm saying is that this team, the New England Patriots of 2013 to 2014, have come a very, very long way in terms of their chemistry since that game. I think that game was the last time we've ever seen them out of sync the way they were. And I don't think they'll be out of sync on Sunday or Saturday, whenever the game is, but I do think that this game is going to be a lot closer than everyone thinks it is.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. I mean, I'm not going to count out Brady. I'm very down the middle in the Patriot-Colts game because, like you said, Andrew Luck has been playing excellent, but at the same time, Tom Brady is a legendary quarterback, possibly in the top five best of all time, something like that.
Top three, please. Top three without a question.
Top three? So you're going to take Tom Brady over – who do you think was better, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning? Let me just hear this one.
I think Tom Brady. Peyton Manning, 8-1-and-dones in the playoffs. That's unacceptable. I don't care what he did in the regular season.
But
you
got
to finish the job. You got to get all the way through to February.
Well, at the same time, though, Peyton Manning has better numbers, and Tom Brady has had probably the best coach in NFL history. So a lot of it, that's also the coach.
I don't know about that, but Bill Belichick's certainly up there. I don't know if he's the best.
Bill Belichick
is
also top five. Listen. You got Joe Montana number one. Because when Brady lost that AFC Championship last year at his home field to the Ravens, the greatest quarterback of all time does not lose that game. Joe Montana, number one. Brady, number two. Manning, number three.
So where's John Elway?
John Elway lost four Super Bowls before he could win, and when he did, it was on the legs of Terrell Davis. John Elway's a top 10 quarterback, but he's not better than Brady or Manning or Montana.
Okay.
I can't argue
your point about Montana, because Montana is simply the second best player who's ever played the game, only behind, his teammate. But I have to say this. Barring this season, Tom Brady has had the better team in terms of matching up the Patriots against the Colts and with Peyton Manning.
Wait a minute. Going into this season, you think that the Patriots were better than the Colts?
No. I said barring this season, meaning excluding this season, because the Patriots were widely regarded as not even the favorite to win the division, honestly. I thought the Miami Dolphins could win the division, but obviously they collapsed. But regardless, since Peyton and Brady were in the same league together, Brady has had the better team for most of the time, except
Actually,
for the past one or two seasons.
Let's go through and take a look at the offense. Peyton Manning had Edgerrin James, a future Hall of Famer, for how many years? He had Marvin Harrison on one side, Reggie Wayne on the other. That combination lasted, I believe, at least 5 years. Dallas Clark was an outstanding player, and he had one of the greatest centers in Jeff Saturday up front for basically
right, but
his entire
at the same
career.
At the same time, let's look at the Patriots for a second. I mean, you've had guys like Randy Moss
for
and
two and a half
Deion
years
Branch come through.
You're
going
to compare
Deion
Branch to Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison?
No, but I'm going to compare Randy Moss, and that he's much, much
Randy
better.
Moss
right,
is,
well, that's two and
Randy
a half
Moss
years as opposed to
player.
Six or seven.
Hey, listen.
Randy Moss was a great player, but that was in a very small span of time.
Well, you know what? To be completely honest,
great, though. He was great.
And let's not forget, he also has Adam Vinatieri, the greatest kicker in NFL history, who won two Super Bowls with his luck. Not saying that
Brady
had
any. You want to look at it like that?
Hey, I'm not saying that Brady didn't do his job that game. All I'm saying is they won because of Vinatieri. The final score would be different if it wasn't for Vinatieri.
I'm going to make this one point, and then we'll move on to the other games. Let's go from when Brady entered the league in 2000. He has Vinatieri until 2006. Peyton has Vinatieri from 2006 to 2012. They both had Vinatieri the same amount of time.
But
Vinatieri was better when he was with Brady.
Clearly we have opposing viewpoints. As much as we would love to keep this going, we have to get to the other game.
We have to move on.
All right, we have just over 15 minutes left.
Wait.
Hold on. What do you guys pick for Sunday or Saturday? The whole weekend.
Make this quick. I'm going to go with
Seahawks, Patriots, Panthers, Broncos. You think all the home teams are going to win?
I think it's going to be the Niners beating the Panthers, as unfortunate as that is. I think the Colts are going to edge the Patriots on a game-winning field goal with just a few ticks left by who else. I think the Broncos are going to beat the Chargers, but it's going to be a hell of a lot closer than you think it's going to be. And I think the New Orleans Saints are going to get it done in Seattle. I think. I really believe
you really
in the
think
New Orleans Saints this year.
So,
I really
so
do.
You're telling me that the Saints can beat Seattle in Seattle against
I really
the Chargers?
Anybody
against
can beat Seattle
in
the
NFL?
They have all the Saints and all the trust in the world in Drew Brees. I really think that he's going to get it done.
You talk about Drew Brees like he's John Elway. I mean, I don't.
All right, Nick.
Yeah.
Nick, what are your picks for this weekend? Clearly not the Saints. All right. So what are your predictions?
I take the Seahawks, the Colts.
All right.
I don't know. The Panthers Niners game is very tough. The Broncos and I would go with the Panthers.
All right, now Alex, how about you?
Man, you all want to see Brady fall so bad. Well, I hate to break it to you guys, but it's just not going to happen. Tom Brady
I agree.
And
I
the
think
Patriots
the
defense
win.
Will handle the Colts very well. You got to remember, the defense has played way beyond what they've been able to do. Chandler Jones has at least 2 sacks. But no reason the Seahawks don't walk all over the Saints. Brees is going to throw 3 picks in that one at a minimum. Down in Carolina, you know, last time these two played, yeah, the Panthers beat them well, but the Niners didn't have Vernon Davis for most of the game. They didn't have Crabtree for all of the game. I think that's the difference. Got to give the slight edge to the Niners there, again, between 3 and 7 points. And then in Denver, I'm going to say Broncos by maybe 1 because the Chargers have beat Denver in Denver before. There's no reason they can't do it again, but playoffs,
they're not going to do it again.
Peyton knows what's on the line.
You're going to tell me
Peyton knows twice as many one-and-dones as anybody else in the history of the NFL. He won't let that happen. He'll get this one. Brady Manning again in
what?
The AFC Championship.
Guess what? And you can mark this down on tape right now before we move on. Boldest prediction of the season. The Denver Broncos, one way or another, will not make the Super Bowl. You heard it here
first. I agree with you. That's not a bold prediction.
Okay.
They have zero defense.
All right.
They will not.
All right, let's move on.
Hold on. You don't think they will? Who's the AFC that you think is going to make it? Because I'm going to be honest. I don't think the Patriots have a chance in heck to make the Super Bowl this year. No way.
All they
got
to do is beat the Colts. They beat the Colts once already.
Let's find out. That's the whole point
of
the playoffs. You just got to watch.
All right, let's move on.
If I can make one last point, whoever goes is going to get wrecked by the Seahawks. The AFC is the weakest it's been in years this year. Most years the Patriots wouldn't have even gotten this far. It is only because this is such a weak AFC, I put them in the Super Bowl, the Seahawks will ruin them.
Let's move on to the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. And before we go on to that, we have about 11 and a half minutes to go on the show. As always, we appreciate when you guys call in. Any questions, comments, whatever, your opinion, your input. That number is 347-884-8496. So just call in any questions. You can talk to us, whatever.
All right, man, I got to say, though, this Baseball Hall of Fame thing is just, it's absolute garbage. I mean, the Baseball Hall of Fame is maybe the worst place in sports. You cannot get in to the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm not saying that guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens deserve to go into the Hall of Fame because of their usage of steroids and because they've also admitted to it, but you cannot deny the level of talent and amazingness, yes, amazingness that these players have had over the course of the years, regardless of whether they used performance-enhancing drugs.
No, now, Brandon, I'm going to disagree with you on that.
Brandon, so you think that Roger Clemens...
I'm
going to
disagree.
Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter in all of baseball.
Hey, Brandon,
more steroids than anybody in baseball history, probably. His head got
Brandon, listen. Steroids... Players take steroids to get an advantage. You cannot. It's cheating. It's illegal. You can't do that. Like that's
okay,
not.
He does not deserve to get into the MLB.
Any baseball player that has been caught taking steroids or HGH, whatever, should not be allowed into Cooperstown.
Let me clarify.
I agree.
I think I'm getting off on the wrong foot here. What I'm trying to say is that, first of all, I hate Barry Bonds, and I hate Roger Clemens. What a passion. Anybody who takes steroids, I have lost all immediate respect for them right on the spot. But what I'm trying to say is the fact that the Baseball Hall of Fame does not even recognize their achievements, let alone put their bust inside the walls of the Hall of Fame.
Why should they recognize their achievements?
Why
should they?
Why? Because. Simply because.
Because what? They cheated.
They cheated. Because of their
achievements. They cheated.
Let me ask you guys two things.
They were juiced up. Whose fault is that?
Let me ask you guys two things. First of all.
The baseball Hall of Fame is just the worst place ever.
No, I agree with you in that sense. I do. But they still shouldn't be in. You know who I am pissed off that didn't get in is Mike Piazza, the best offensive catcher in MLB history.
Well, you know why? You know
hold
why?
On,
as much
on.
As I hate
defensive, not defensive, offensive.
Okay, wait, guys. Let Alex talk. Yes, let Alex talk.
Let me ask you this first. As people who host your own radio show, as young sportscasters, let me ask you this. Did Barry Bonds take steroids?
He absolutely
can you say
did.
That as a fact?
Yeah. I am going to say yes because for a few reasons.
It doesn't matter. You can't.
Okay.
He was never acquitted. He was acquitted of perjury. He was acquitted of lying about not taking steroids. He was never officially found taking steroids. And because we live in this great country, America, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. You cannot say – there are very few players you can say on air that actually took steroids. But on the flip side, give me any baseball player right now, I'll Google him. You will find something online saying they took steroids. Nick, we did this at camp. You know this. I found that Mark Bell took steroids.
It'll probably be on
a 10 career home run.
I remember talking about that with Chris Davis.
All right.
Here's another point.
Nick, do you
want to
know why Piazza didn't get into the hall?
Because of suspicion of steroids.
That's exactly right. And that's why they have to start finding a way to prove these players of taking performance-enhancing drugs at some point during their career. And
but
I think that
no
if they are proven innocent, no matter what happens in between the trials, the suspension from baseball, no matter what happens in between, if they are found innocent, you have to immediately not only apologize, but start acknowledging everything that they did in their career. And that's what I think Mike Piazza is going to be at the next year's Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. I think that there is no way that he doesn't get in next year because of the fact that he is going to be proven innocent of taking steroids.
Exactly.
Well,
I don't think he took steroids.
You're digging into a deeper issue here, and I agree with you. I think he was one of the few guys that wasn't a steroid guy, but if you dig a little deeper into the issue, it's the Baseball Writers of America, and that's the problem because if you look at most of these writers, they're 50, 60 years old. They grew up, you know, watching the greats in the 70s and the 80s, and to them, steroids are absolutely ruining the game. They need to open it up. They need to understand their new forms of media. There's no reason Dave O'Brien, the play-by-play guy of the Red Sox, shouldn't have a vote.
There's no reason anybody
broadcasting the Yankees shouldn't have a vote. And these people may be a little more accepting because of the era they grew up in.
I completely agree with you.
You
know what?
I'm going to throw out some career numbers, and you tell me if this person belongs in the Hall of Fame. 302 average, 3,200 hits, 660 home runs, almost 2,000 RBIs. First of all, do you believe this person is on steroids?
Well, who was on steroids?
Who is it?
They hit 660 home runs, 2,000 RBIs, 302 average. Do you believe, by hearing those numbers, does that sound like a steroids guy? Yes or no?
That's very hard to say.
There's one major question here. What era of baseball did he play in?
Well, here's what I'm going to have to tell you off. The Baseball Hall of Fame, it's all about it doesn't matter the era. That's what it's supposed to matter about. I'll give you another one.
That's exactly why I asked that question.
273, 2,000 hits, just over 600 home runs. Does that person sound like a steroids person?
It depends.
It sounds like a long, illustrious career of baseball, of good baseball.
Okay, the second one was Sammy Sosa. The first one was Willie Mays.
Okay.
It's 660. Without him, you can say without a doubt, no steroids.
No,
he put up PED era numbers, but what this pushes the argument, and I'm not saying this is right, but this is what you have to go by if you're thinking about this. If he put up these eras pre-PEDs, it's clearly possible for somebody to do it. And therefore, if they've never actually been found guilty of taking steroids, you have to believe and you have to go on the notion that they didn't. And that's just the way
okay.
it is.
Now I agree with that. I agree that it's definitely possible to do that because clearly Willie Mays did it. But I think in terms of, you know, you said Barry Bonds hasn't been found guilty of using steroids. In my own opinion, I think he has, because if you just
Absolutely.
Look at some pictures between his early years in baseball and when he was in the Pirates and he was a rookie, then he was in the San Francisco Giants, it's a totally
well, you can
different
put two
person.
And two together. You can put two and two together all you want, but all that matters is, according to the real world, what it is, the facts as they are, Barry Bonds did not take steroids, and he hit more home runs than anybody else in history.
Do you think that Barry Bonds deserves to get into the Hall of Fame?
Writers are not going to look at it that way.
There's a difference between not thinking somebody should be in and not wanting somebody to be in. I think what a lot of people are confusing, a lot of people don't want Barry Bonds to get in. They're confusing that with not thinking he should be in. Barry Bonds absolutely should, as much as we don't want to see it. If you want to give the steroids guys a ceremonial slap on the wrist, maybe don't vote them in on the first ballot. I think that's one way you could do it. They don't get to say they were first ballot Hall of Famers. But the facts are the facts. Bonds should be in. If they find out he takes steroids down the road, they can kick him out like they kicked out Pete Rose.
By doing that, you know what that would do? That would basically encourage cheating. It's saying,
exactly.
You know what? It's okay. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, you know what you would have to do? You would have to swindle everyone in baseball. You would have to find the best lawyers in town, and you would have to lie to a judge's face for at least 10-plus years. I don't know many baseball players who could do that, considering the level of intelligence that baseball players have these days.
And Barry Bonds, it is obvious to anybody with the naked eye that he took steroids. His entire body type changed.
But, Nick,
you can't tell.
I'm not saying he did it. Steroids with
his
naked eye.
His head got bigger. His head swelled up.
But you can 100% tell.
Here's the thing. The Baseball Writers of America are journalists. Journalistic integrity, you can only go ahead with the facts as they are presented to you. So as journalists, they cannot go on the assumption that Barry Bonds took steroids.
But that's
that is not
doing.
The facts as it has been.
I don't have a problem with that.
Because it's pretty obvious that it's a story. You have to use common sense. You can't just go by what's in the book.
Let's quickly move on now. We have just over 2 minutes left in the show. And really quickly, you know, tonight the Nets play the Heat in the first of a few, quote-unquote, nickname games. Both teams will be wearing jerseys with players' nicknames on it. For example, LeBron's wearing a jersey that says King James. Darren Williams has one that says D-Will, you know, so on and so on.
Well, he's up playing.
So, wait, we have a caller quickly. Well, who do we have here? Oh, no, they just hung up. All right, very quickly, since we have about a minute and a half remaining in the show, what is your favorite sports nickname of all time? Brandon, we'll start with you.
Ooh, I wasn't expecting this question. I thought you were just going to ask what my favorite jersey was. In that case, it would be Jesus Shuttleworth. But, you're going to have to come back to me on that.
All right, Alex, how about you?
You know, I got a couple going through my mind, and me and my friends at school, we have our own nicknames for some players. I'm trying to think. Let me get a pass on that. Give me a second, too.
All right, Nick, how about you?
Wow. One of them I really love is the Iron Horse for Lou Gehrig. Another one was this pitcher back in the old days. He was nicknamed the Mad Hungarian. He was always mad when he pitched and all that. He was known as the Mad Hungarian. I've always really loved that nickname.
I got another one. All right. I don't know how I let this slip past me, but Rich Garces, El Guapo, the handsome one, some 400-pound relief pitcher throwing heat for the Red Sox in the mid-90s. They used to put the Dunkin' Donuts ad up behind the plate when he pitched to encourage him. It's got to be El Guapo.
I do remember that. That is hilarious. For me, it's fairly simple. Just Broadway Joe. I mean,
for me, being as big of a New York Jets fan as I am, I mean, the guy was an idol. I practically looked up to him, and I just thought that was the coolest name of all time. And
there's no love for the
team. It's got to be Broadway Joe.
All right, we have 10 seconds left. I'm going to have to go quickly. I'm going to say mine is Paul Pierce the Truth. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We'll be back soon.
All right, go Nets.